Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerito back here for this month's edition of the RHAP Rewind. And it is Listener Choice Month because we are back to give you some options here for what will be covered in the month of April in the RHAP Rewind. So each week of this month, we're going to watch a different show. And then that show will be rewatched in full, in its entirety, in the month of April. And here with me to join through watching all of these shows, a man who is one of our most experienced people at watching old reality shows. Here is the great Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
I'm good, Rob.
Happy Listener Choice Month.
Oh, yeah. Listener's Choice Month. We're here. We're here and I'm in my bag. This is my cup of tea. Old reality TV shows, things that nobody cares about except me. I'm here and I'm ready.
Okay.
Very excited.
And what a great way to kick off this month, because we're going to take a look at 2005's Battle of the Network Reality Stars from Bravo, a who's who of 2005 reality TV. What a time capsule. We're going to look at this. This will be the first four shows we will watch here in the month of March, watch the first episode, and then in the month of April, cover a entire run of this series. And we are very lucky to have with us a reality TV expert. Please welcome the great Brian Scally is here. Scally, how are you?
Hello, hello. I am good. I'm excited as someone who was sneaking all of these bad reality shows and more as a little kid through years. I feel like I'm finally putting that to good use. I know who, like, basically all of these people are, even if, you know, it feels like even maybe the host doesn't know sometimes. I am very excited to talk about this show.
Okay. All right. So this is the first one of the month. You didn't miss any. It was just a very busy week last week. So we ended up pushing back the start of this March RHAP Rewind here till the second week of March. We'll go for the rest of March, watch four more first episodes of shows, and then give you the chance to vote here at the end of the month. But Chappelle, I'm very excited because here, you know, there's a lot going on with Trina. I'm watching the Survivor season every single week. Big Brother Canada is back, tough as nails, still doing 90 Day Fiance. I am thrilled at the prospect of only watching one extra episode of reality TV a week.
Yeah, this is designed to give you a break, Rob. You
catch,
know,
my breath.
You got a lot on your plate, and that's okay, because I am here to take over the plate a little bit. You know, like, you got stuff spilling over and I'm going to catch all the leftovers. And so I'm excited to be here with you. Definitely excited to be here with Scally. You have to understand, when this idea comes up, this particular show is, like the listeners were saying, all these reality shows, I see something like this and the first person who pops in my mind is Scally, because I know that while he was sneaking these shows, I was watching these shows. We basically were in the same household in my mind because we watched all of this crap. And we are, I mean, there's nobody better to talk about than, you know, with Scally and yourself, Rob. You probably know a lot of these people in real life, don't you?
Yes, I think I've met more than a few of these people, and we could talk about all of that. Of course, this is available on YouTube if you want to go back and watch the 2005 premiere of the Battle of the Network Reality Stars. Brian, could you tell us a little bit about your backstory with this? Did you watch it when you were a little kid?
Oh, I did. I was scrolling through the channels, find a show on Bravo with Dr. Will Kirby himself, and immediately I'm going to watch all of this. So I think probably what happened was, I don't know if they had aired them like in a binge either after like the first week or like to catch people up for the finale. But I remember just sitting there and watching hours of all of these reality TV personalities that I had been watching before on a channel that I had really never watched before somehow.
Yeah. And yeah, Bravo was just sort of like starting to find itself like in the reality TV game. I think that they had their big hit at that point was Queer Eye, that was sort of like put them on the map. And then I don't even know if the Housewives franchise had launched yet at this time. So this was just the beginning of a long storied history for the Bravo network. Kathy Griffin was very involved, that she had My Life on the D-List. And then also she hosts the reunion show for this as well. A lot going on.
Kathy's mom, Maggie, on this show.
Yes. Kathy Griffin was an icon to reality TV back then. You know, like, she was a comedian.
Celebrity mole contestant.
Celebrity mole contestant, but once she took over with her Life on the D-List, yeah, I think that was one of the shows that really kind of pushed Bravo into the reality realm. Another one of those shows being like Project Runway, I think was on Bravo as well. So there's a few. They tiptoed into the water, and now Bravo is like known for all of these like Housewives or whatever they do now. But back then, yeah, it was just every now and then you would see like a show about someone you know from a reality TV show. And that was kind of Bravo's bag. And I enjoyed it. I was watching everything, literally everything.
Yeah. Chappelle, did you watch this when it aired in 2005?
I think so. And I remember I hadn't watched a lot of the other shows in real time because, you know, like, I don't think in 2005 I had time to keep up with all of this stuff. So like Temptation Island and The Apprentice, I really didn't watch those. Mm-hmm. But because of shows like this and The Surreal Life and
You've
other shows,
I've been going back and binging The Apprentice now, right?
I have not Recently. Watched The Apprentice. I don't think I'm ever going to see it. I'm just going to ask you guys to kind of catch me up on what I missed. But yeah, this was like my introduction to some of those shows. I was very excited to be able to watch them and, you know, get an idea for who these famous people were. I mean, Rob Omarosa is on this cast.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Omarosa, yeah, she's one of the commentators with Bachelor Bob Guinea and Trishel. So this was a loaded group. There are four teams that took place or took part in the Battle of the Network reality stars from all across the different shows. The teams are not divided by network. They're sort of just like randomly thrown together, which we could talk about as well. I actually did talk about this one time previously in 2017 that there was a new Battle of the Network realities or network stars, which I totally forgot that was going to be a thing. And to prep for that, I talked about this with Mike Bloom and Kurt Clark once upon a time. But I totally forgot that they brought the Battle of the Network stars back at one point.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I know that this was a plan. They were going to do this every year, and it very much did not work out well. So for them to have revisited this in, what was that, 2017?
Yeah.
Definitely a surprise for me. More so was inhibiting my search results. Yes. That was the biggest impact in my life.
That it is very on brand, though, with the theme of the week, 2017 reality shows that did not go great, as we covered Survivor Game Changers also on the Top 40 Countdown this week as well. So in the 70s, I guess, and into the 80s, there was a Battle of the Network TV stars, and there is a lot of nostalgia in these episodes of Skelly. There's a lot of talk about how, like, oh, remember how great it was, but you know what? I bet it really wasn't that great.
Yeah, I don't know why we really needed to continuously reference the original series. I guess paying homage is something they're, you know, bound to do when this gets revived. But I don't know. I know in future episodes, did we need to bring on like big 70s stars to interview them or have Austin Scarlett look at the fashions of t-shirts and bathing suits? I don't know.
Yeah. Chappelle, it is like a crazy idea of like, could you imagine that if like now that there was going to be some sort of like primetime TV stars were going to be like doing like the shot put or obstacle courses on television. Like 0.0 people would be watching this at nighttime.
I disagree.
You if think you so? Tell me, they watch it?
Yeah. If you tell me NeNe Leakes is about to start doing the shot put, I'm there. Okay. I'm there with popcorn. I'm watching every minute of that. No, I think you can get viewership if you get, you know, the messy reality stars, yeah. right? Or like the television characters that you want to see. You could probably bring Omarosa back still. She's still kind of relevant from her Big Brother celebrities then a couple years ago. I don't think, like, if you cast it correctly, I think people will watch these people do anything, because what we're looking for is drama. So the competitions, that's fine. But I want to hear the commentary about each other and, yeah. you know, each other's performance. And then even some social media aftermath too. Show me, who's famous right now in television. Maybe the cast of Modern Family or something like that, you know, beefing with Omarosa because of the shot put going wrong. You know,
yeah.
give me something like that.
I wonder if this would be sort of more interesting to, instead of like going like super broad with like people from all different shows, if it was like super specific, almost like a Bachelor in Paradise model, like Scally, like would this work if they did it with like all Big Brother people or all, like, I mean, that kind of like that's kind of how the MTV Challenge got going, where it's like, hey, we're bringing in all the people from the real world and the Road Rules, like people that are sort of like in these franchises. Even if it was like the battle of the CBS reality stars, like I feel like that the more sort of like specific you go with this, I think the more interest there might be.
For sure. I think that even I, who somehow did find the time that Chappelle did not, to watch almost every one of these shows, was constantly thinking like, all right, which average Joe is which? I'm not sure. So if you were to narrow it down to just one network, or at least sort these teams by network or something along the lines, I think it becomes a lot more clear and accessible for the everyday person to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's such a good point. There are so many average Joes. First of all, before we get into some of these shows and these people, I just have to say that, like, looking back at the list of shows that these people are from and the cast, I'm thinking, oh, wow, I remember that show, only to find out that there's like six sequels of each of these shows. Like, you know, there's a million Apprentices, a million of, you know, The Amazing Race. And that makes sense to me. A million Survivors. Fine. But when you tell me there's like an average Joe season 5, I'm like, what? The Swan season 12. Mm-hmm. What are y'all talking about? Why are there 5 all-star seasons of Project Runway? I have questions.
Yeah.
So that was one of my biggest shockers from looking at the cast. I was like, okay, I understand that some of y'all are from the same shows, but I had no clue people still cared about these shows after maybe the first or second season.
Yeah. Scally, I think that there are legit people here. They're like, who? Who is this? Like, this was the best 32 that you could come up with?
Yeah, I watched all of these, and like Bradford eliminated week 2 on The Apprentice, like really skimming the bottom. Did we just want to have all the shows represented? And everyone else said no, literally every single person, because it is surprising the representation, even on some of the shows that we are more familiar with.
Yeah. Okay, should we go through the cast? I feel like that's probably the best way to jump into this. There are 4 teams. There's a dark blue team, there is a green team, there's a red team, and then there is the white team, but then they get team captains, and then the teams get the name of the captain. That was the color coding.
It's easier to remember if you call them like Team Coral, Team Miz, you know, not to spoil who the captains are, but you know, as opposed to saying the red team, the green team, the blue team, and the lighter blue team, you know, just pick something and call them. We talk about this with Survivor all the time. We don't really care about the tribe names, but we do want to know who the people are and what team they're on. So yeah, it helps.
Just also big picture, this was impossible to follow anything of what's going on. That it seemed like that there was almost no structure, that this was just like somebody's like home movie of everything that was going on there. That it was sometimes that you're just like people are just standing around like milling about. That this was a extremely hard show to follow anything that was going on.
For sure. And yes, I am excited to watch like dried up reality stars in some cases play color wars or like a backyard games field day, whatever. But the average viewer is not going to be trying to put in any effort to figure out who the 30 out of 32 characters that they don't know on this show are.
Yeah. And Chappelle, when you get a bunch of reality stars together in an environment like this, like, It's not fun.
Oh, so are you saying that out of experience? Or are you saying like this was not a fun watch for you?
No, it's well, I'll say both things.
Because
you have a bunch of people who are used to being the center of attention, and then they're all trying to outdo each other to be the center of attention. And there's only so many cameras, and so that they're just going to go to, you're going to get like so much Jonathan Baker just being a total a-hole just for the sake of like, oh, okay, I've cracked the formula of this is how I'm going to get the most airtime being here on this show.
Look, the reason we like reality TV, you know, stars is because they're messy. You know, the shows might not be so messy, but the people are. And if you can get the mess, then that's what you want. So you cast a Jonathan Baker and a Mike Boogie and other people like that so that you can have those moments, even Coral, you know. But what you'll notice is the messiest of the mess always rises to the top. The cream always comes out on top. So even though these are a ton of people who are self-absorbed and want the camera on them, you're still going to get more Jonathan than anybody. Mm-hmm. You're going to get Hatch. You know, like these people are going to make themselves known. So I actually kind of enjoy seeing them jockey for position to see who can get the best camera time.
Mm-hmm. Scally, the problem for me is that there's no game here. It's just like people standing around and trying to see like who could be the biggest jerk.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm wondering, I saw the preview is like, all right, we're playing touch football and like a few more organized games rather than like climbing a cargo net, like the kindergarten version of American Ninja Warrior courses. I understand that they were probably trying to rival like a real world, the real world road rules challenges. And even though they brought some people over, but it is just like the babiest of baby versions of that in this first episode.
Okay. All right. So the teams have to elect a captain. So from this group, The Miz is going to be elected a captain. And this was good casting for then and has stood up to the test of time, having The Miz here.
The Miz is one of our highlights for this season because The Miz, back at this time, he was known for The Real World Back to New York. I think at this point he had gone on the Real World Road Rules Challenge at this point to a couple times, mm-hmm. honestly. And I think he was relatively successful, but he was becoming a bigger personality than he was at the time. And now he is a full-fledged wrestler. Back then, that was The Miz's whole thing. He was Mike and he wanted to be a wrestler. So everything that we saw him on television, he always incorporated wrestling into it. I'm going to be a pro wrestler one day. They called him The Miz on The Real World. It was kind of goofy back then, but he called his shot and look at him. He is, I mean, clearly one of the stars of the WWE right now. So it worked out for him for sure. Scally, do you remember The Miz in his heyday?
Oh, I remember The Miz. Like, The Miz comes with a fully fleshed out character. He knows exactly who he's going to be on the show. And so it's easy casting him knowing that, like, exactly what you're getting. He's going to always be playing up, antagonizing everyone else. He is the best. Like, even in this episode where he's saying, like, oh, like, that's my reality. I am The Miz. I'm the greatest. Like, okay, we get it. And so it's like very clear, mm-hmm. both to pick him as the captain and to have him on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets into a battle with Richard Hatch for supremacy of the dark blue team. And they go to rock, paper, scissors. And The Miz bests Richard Hatch in rock, paper, scissors. That was very fascinating to see, Chappelle.
Yeah, you're not used to seeing Richard lose a lot. You know, we know him from as the winner of Survivor, but at this point, he had already lost Survivor All-Stars. So this wasn't completely out of the realm to see Richard take an L. But yeah, I think the show was trying to highlight Richard Hatch as the strategic narrator of the season, which makes sense considering where he came from. But
he's good at it.
But if I have to pick a captain, I think I'm going with The Miz for this team.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, those are the big heavy hitters on this team. Let me tell you the rest of the dark blue team. We have Ryan Starr from American Idol. Scally, do you have any recollection of Ryan Starr from American Idol?
I do. And again, this is how my brain works. I can, you know, tell me something of importance yesterday I'm not going to remember. Ask me to name the boot list of like season one of American Idol. I got you. So
how far did she go?
She was about the halfway
point. I think she's
point.
Top seven in the season one of American Idol.
Exactly.
Yeah, she got hosed. Who would make Ryan Starr? Ryan Starr is a rocker. You know, mm-hmm. that's our rock and roll chick from season one. And they're like, okay, this week, disco. well, that's the end of Ryan Starr. Next scene on the Battle of the Network Reality TV Stars. Was I happy to see Ryan Starr here? It was fine at the time. Looking back now, I'm like, oh, there she, there's a person that I knew of.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not horrible casting, I guess.
All right. You had Valerie Penso from the OG Temptation Island. She was not there with Kaya, her Temptation Island partner.
I know nothing about Temptation Island at all. Scally, come on, bring it home.
OG Temptation Island with still with Mark L. Wahlberg.
Was a show that I was sneaking, but one of the ones that I was definitely more frowned upon that I was trying to watch this as a child. So finger was on the remote, ready to change it at any point. So Valerie, I am a little unfamiliar with, but definitely recognize
she's
the name.
She's super boring that I used to know her from that. And which is fun, which is like a compliment to say that, you know, their reality star is super boring. It means like they're like a decent, like well-adjusted person. Like, I don't know why they felt like they needed to have Temptation Island represented here to bring in Valerie Penso. Burton question. Is here from Survivor on Pearl Islands.
Rob, before you move on into your neck of the woods, I do have a question about Temptation Island because I've never seen this show. Scally said he had his finger on the remote. That means he was watching something dirty. Was Temptation Island OG dirty? Was it dirty or was it just dirty?
I mean, it's not as dirty as the modern day reboot of Temptation Island, but you know, like the premise is the same.
Okay. All right. I might have to go check this out.
You know, people going to cheat on their partners and then it's the ultimate test of your relationship.
How have I not seen this? I mean, tag me in.
Yeah. Temptation Island, Paradise Hotel, all those back in the day were ones that probably just at least the format had you questioning even more than the content.
Yeah. I think Temptation Island was probably a more like above board than like a Paradise Hotel.
Sure. Well,
is that believe not hard it or to not. Do?
Yeah. Believe it or not. Burton Roberts is here from Survivor Pearl Island. So, there's Burton. I mean, Burton is a nice guy. Like he's never going to electrify you on television.
No, he's fine.
Exactly. He's fine. He's fine.
It's fine.
We have Heidi Bressler from season one of The Apprentice. Scally, did you watch the original Apprentice? Was that something you were keeping your eye on?
I did, and I was a Heidi fan back in the day. I even, you know, back then, always loved drama, and Heidi was loud. She is ready to argue her way in the boardroom, and she's not going to sit back. So it was exciting for me back then, and even still to get to revisit Heidi here.
Yeah. She was a big character on that show. I totally forgot she's here in the Battle of the Network Reality Stars. And so is Bradford. Bradford, he had a famous boot. I think he got fired early on. He was he got fired for something stupid. Like he wouldn't throw somebody under the bus, or no, he brought himself into the boardroom. I think it was. Yeah. Sam is messaging us, Apprentice Stan, he had immunity and gave it up. That's what, Bradford, he had a famous boot from The Apprentice.
The dumbest move in Apprentice history.
That makes more sense in terms of like being a buzzworthy name at the time. But looking back, like there's no memory of Bradford, so it does not hold up to this day.
Yeah, I'm not sure if two Apprentice seasons had happened at this point, or if three, or if it was into the third season. But you know, it was a hot show at that time. So Bradford is here. Sharla and Myrna are here. I like that they kept the Amazing Race teams together. Sharla and Myrna are here. Chappelle, we spent a lot of time with Sharla getting her ready that she wants to be in the Joust. And there's a lot that I would say that at least 15% of this episode we watched has to deal with Sharla wanting to be in the Joust, Sharla getting ready for the Joust, her actual match in the Joust, and reaction to Sharla in the Joust.
Yeah, this was one of the things we were building up to the most, right? Like, will Sharla be okay in the Joust? For the people not familiar with Sharla, she's a little person, so she has a height disadvantage in any competition, honestly, that requires, you know, probably leverage or something like that. She's low to the ground, and so she felt like, this is going to be a good challenge for me in the Joust. And so the entire episode, we're trying to determine, okay, is Charlotte going to be able to do this? Is the team going to vote her into this spot? She really wants to prove, you know, that, you know, you shouldn't underestimate her in this spot. And the team actually goes with it. They're like, okay, well, you know, let's give her a shot. Richard Hatch is trying her out, trying to push her over. He's like, she's really sturdy, I guess. And so, yeah, that's Hatch.
He like pokes her like with one finger. It's like, oh, well, it looks pretty good.
Yeah. He's like, hey, there you go. So I'm happy they gave her a shot. And yeah, we'll talk about it later. But yeah, I was very excited to see Charlotte in this spot because I remember her much better than I remember Myrna. I don't remember her at all.
Nobody remembers Myrna. Yeah. Myrna is like, she gets like a free ride. She's like the teller of Penn and Teller. She's just like is around.
She's the plus one. And plus so one. Like Charla's massively popular. Like I remember Charla for sure back in the day. It was always rooting for her, excited to see her show back up here. And so while I don't think the storyline was the most interesting, I understand why they would want to highlight her in particular.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The red team, they're going to elect Coral as the leader of their tribe. Coral from Real World, back to New York. Okay. Chappelle, are you a Coral guy?
Everyone is a Coral guy.
Especially Edmo.
Yeah, it is a responsibility, honestly, at this point. Like, you have to stand Coral until she gives us a reason not to. And thus far, I don't know the reason not to. If it has happened and I don't know about it, maybe send me a DM or something.
Yeah.
But as of this point in history, yeah, we are... We are Coral fans. Back to New York is where her and The Miz actually met on the Real World. And so I was happy to see them both on this season. I know when they were casted, they probably were looked at as almost a duo because I think they were on the challenge. They even were presented on a pair a lot of times. And their relationship came a long way. When they were on Back to New York originally, they didn't even get along. And now this is one of those, you know, reality TV, you know, friendships that we talk about for years and years and years.
Scally, is Coral going to be part of the OG challenge that they're doing?
She is not. And it's like the biggest casting miss because she was allegedly in the mix for some of the full seasons recently, let alone this. So I don't know how they didn't make that happen.
Okay. She is the captain. Here's who else is on the red team. Will Weichel makes the cut. Chappelle, I really don't remember Will Weichel much as a Big Brother contestant. Here he is.
Does Will Weichel have any other works that people should know him from? Anything that's notable?
Are you saying that
I'm asking a question.
Yeah, I think he did some things after Big Brother.
Yeah, I'm not very familiar with him in either realm. Honestly, I don't remember him too much in Big Brother season 5.
Yeah.
Because
he has some credits on his Wikipedia page if anybody wants to research them.
Yeah, just incognito tab that probably. But yeah, I remember Will vaguely. I thought it was pretty cool to see him here. We don't often get Big Brother 5 representation, you know? When do we talk about that? So I was fine with Will here. Scally, you're a big Will guy.
Will was fine. I was a little surprised looking back. I did not remember him being here. So I'm sure at the time, Will made perfect sense casting Big Brother 5. I don't know if it was the most recent season, because otherwise I don't know how you don't get any Big Brother 6 representation here. Mm-hmm. So I have to assume so. But if you're going to go for the most recent season, Will's a perfectly fine choice.
Yeah. Okay.
You're taking Will over Cowboy?
I am taking Will over Cowboy, yes.
It's okay. We got a lot of reality TV to cover, and you know, we talk about Cowboy later on in reality TV world, especially recently. So don't worry about that. Cowboy will get his shot one day.
Yeah. Okay. Congratulations to Will Weichel. All right. Evan Marriott is here. Chappelle, were you a Joe Millionaire guy?
No. I watched Joe Millionaire like sparingly. I would see like recaps of it on, I don't know if it was like the Soup or Best Week Ever or something like that back then. But Joe Millionaire doesn't really speak to my like interest when it comes to reality shows. Cause what's the premise is what? He's pretending to be a millionaire. Yes.
Yes. And it was like, he's a construction worker and he makes $18,000 a year.
Yeah. First of all.
And we're going to lie to these women and then tell them that he's a millionaire.
First of all, if he's making $18,000 a year and he's a construction worker, he's working part time anyway. So he had nothing better to do because there's no way you should be making that little money as a construction worker. But I remember him. Whenever I hear his name, I think of him sitting on some type of a like bulldozer with a construction hat on. They're like, Joe Millionaire. Mm-hmm. Do I know who won the season? Do I know if there was a winner? Is he the winner for lying to all these women?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Does he get $1 million if he convinces them all that he's a millionaire?
Like, something. What's the, I don't remember.
What's the premise?
Scott, did you watch Joe Millionaire?
I did watch Joe Millionaire.
It was 34.6 million people were watching Joe Millionaire.
Well, I was one of them. So yeah, definitely tuning in every week to Joe Millionaire. I remember like very much enjoying it. Was excited to see Evan Marriott show up. I don't know that he got anything for like convincing anyone to stay with him. I think that was for love or money.
I'm looking it up on Wikipedia. So the woman that he picked, Zora, they split $1 million. They did not stay together, though.
Hmm. I think he ultimately gets paid more money just for doing the show. You know, I mean, look at the viewership. This is a juggernaut. They could have had Evan Millionaire, Evan Marriott action figures at this point, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like Kung Fu Grip, and he has the bulldozer and the damn hard hat. So maybe it's all about the merchandising.
This was not the only appearance that Evan Marriott was making as Joe Millionaire around. Like, I'm sure he did the circuit, so he did fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rob, have you ever met Joe Millionaire?
I think one time I met him.
Was he seem nice?
That was
fine.
I mean, he's like a zero personality. He's like not one of these people that is like that he's on TV because he's like this rambunctious character. He was like, you know, a good enough looking guy who they just pulled off the street and said, okay, we're going to tell these women that you are a millionaire.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He's getting by off of we need an attractive guy.
Yeah.
And
very much that.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, a male model. I mean, he's just not a lot going on there with Joe Millionaire. Melissa Howard from The Real World New Orleans. Scally, could you give us the reminder on Melissa Howard?
Melissa is from a season that I have not seen. I remember her name popping up on The Challenge, but as far as Melissa on The Real World, I believe she was on
New Orleans
back in the day. So there were a few more people from that season that were a little more memorable, at least from when I was watching. But I believe, Chappelle, were you watching at that point?
Yes, I was watching The Real World New Orleans. Yeah, so was like someone's got to.
Yeah, I remember Julie.
Apparently,
that was the one person from that season that I remember.
Yes, Julie, who tried to kill someone on a harness. Julie. Allegedly.
Iconic Julie. Yo, we saw it. We saw it with our own eyes. People were screaming and Julie was trying to murder them. We saw it and MTV just kept the camera rolling. But yeah, I think the thing that's memorable about Melissa is that she was tiny, but she was feisty. And I'm probably incorrect in saying this, but I remember thinking she was too young to be on the season. Like she was like 19 or something. And in New Orleans, like everyone is drinking and partying. And so that's kind of abnormal for the real world because they want everybody to be drinking and partying. And so I don't know if she was like a party to that and she was underage, but it was something about that was like part of the storyline for that season. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I remember Melissa, big fan at the time.
Yeah. We have Adam Mesh from Average Joe. Skyler, did you watch Average Joe?
The thing is, I did watch Average Joe at some point. I know that I somehow was finding the time for all of these shows. I could not tell you one cast member from the other. It's not something that I've ever chose to revisit with my time, but I at least was aware of the show at the time. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that we have Adam Mesh from Average Joe and then Evan Marriott from Joe Millionaire here on the same team, Chappelle, because basically, yeah, Joe Schmo was like the inverse of Joe Millionaire, where Joe Millionaire was like trying to fake out all the women that are on the show. That Average Joe was a show. I'm sorry, I'm getting confused with Joe Schmo.
It's too many Joes.
Too many Joes.
Too many Joes.
Yeah.
You got Average Joe. You got Joe Schmo. You got Joe Millionaire.
Yeah, Average Joe was what? That they brought like a bunch of guys to the island and then they brought like attractive women, but then they also brought in like studs.
I think
Scally, go ahead.
A group of fairly average men by whatever reality TV average standards. Yes. And so I think there was one female lead who was dating them. And then about halfway through, like the studs came in, like the typical casting for reality TV. Yeah. And could the average Joes maintain their lead here and end up with the girl at the end of the show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I'm so
bad. It's such a silly concept, honestly. Like, we here at the end of Beauty Queen, and all of y'all are, okay, you know, some of y'all are overweight, some of y'all are underweight, some of y'all are kind of nerdy. Let's cast you anyway. And it's so messed up, because if I'm in that spot and the casting is saying, like, you know, we want you for average, I'm like, I would like to think I have better self-esteem to think that I could do better than being, like, one of the average people, so you can bring in the studs and like shun me out into the background. So I hope these people have, like, you know, acquired a little bit more self-esteem and love themselves a little bit more than putting themselves in this position.
Yeah,
especially if someone in your life was coming to you like, hey, I got a show you should apply to.
You would be perfect for this. You're a little nerdy, a little overweight, like nobody really is clamoring for you, but you seem nice. I got the perfect show for you. And then Adam ends up coming back for Adam Returns, his own season of Average Joe. He was slightly above average, yes, compared to the other average Joes. And so they gave him his own show.
So in fairness to me, doesn't the guy at Average Joe, Adam, look exactly like the guy from the Joe Schmo show?
I mean, I think Adam's actually a little bit smaller, because Matt Gould is a big guy, or at least he was at the time. But yeah, it's pretty close. You got Average Joe, Joe Smo, and Joe Millionaire. You know, like, whatever.
Getting confused. They're losing me. Yeah. All right. Rachel Love Frazier is here from The Swan. Of course, Scally, who could forget Rachel Love Frazier?
Me. Oh, Rachel Love Frazier. Oh, The Swan. Like, here is where we've hit the most ridiculous show, I think.
Talk
with
about
The
it.
Swan. Show. Do you know what it is, Chappelle?
Oh, I'm familiar. Oh, okay. I want to hear Scally's explanation, yes, because this show is absurd.
Mm-hmm. Let's say they would take some average Jones and give them a makeover with quite a bit of plastic surgery, liposuction, like the works, and then throw them out on stage and judge them in a beauty competition. So don't know that this show's ever coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was like two women were both going through it at the same time, right?
I think each episode, and then I don't know if they chose between the two, like, all right, your results were better, or how exactly that was done. But eventually, yeah, I know that, like, over the course of the season, it was qualifying you for some final pageant.
It's like, yeah, wow, like Fox was out here trying some stuff in the 2000s.
Very much, yeah, some stuff.
They were like, true. All right, let's try it.
Who cares? I mean, do y'all want to get plastic surgery? Okay, cool, let's do it. You know, mm-hmm, and then, and then it's a beauty contest based on the plastic surgery and the makeover they got. So it's like, you know, maybe you just didn't do as good a work on my nose as you did on her nose. Should I be penalized in the contest because my nose isn't perfect? You were supposed to fix it. You know, I don't know. This is insane. I don't like this at all. I'm sure Rachel is a very nice lady, but these are some beginnings. This is where you tiptoe you dip your foot in the reality TV water. You might never come back.
Yeah. Also on the red team is Duncan Nutter from Showbiz Moms and Dads, a show I never heard of other than being on this. Have you ever heard of Duncan Nutter, Chappelle?
Of course.
They call him Dunk Nuts. Yeah.
Yeah, Dunk Nut. Dunk Nut had like seven kids. That's what I remember about him. It was a bunch of like it was him and his wife were like the dad and mominger of, like, you know, these kids that were trying to be kind of like the Osmonds, I guess. You know, like they were trying to like raise his family, and they were all supposed to be on like in show business one day. And I believe they were like, I don't know. The show was short lived, obviously. Yeah.
I was going to say, you could say anything. I'll believe you about Duncan Nutter. Like, this was Bravo trying to make Showbiz Moms and Dads happen. It was not working out. It was a last ditch effort with having Duncan Nutter on Battle of the Network Reality Stars.
Yeah. I think of all the shows, this might be the only one that got one that we've talked about so far that's got one season and it was it. That's it.
You think Duncan Nutter is on Cameo?
Oh my God. First of all, how much would we pay for Duncan Nutter? Let's name our price now. And then if he's on it, I just drop the money right now.
Let me see.
$20.
No, I don't think there's a Dunkin' Nutter is on here, but maybe we can find some of the... I bet at least half the people from this cast are on the cameo, I gotta think.
I would have to think
so. Yeah.
No, well, here's the thing. Is there anybody clamoring for the Dunkin' Nutter cameo? Like, who's the person sitting at home like, yes, Dunkin' Nutter's on here. I gotta call it. Like, I gotta do this. $40. Shoot, that's yes. Chip.
Is Rachel Love Frazier on cameo?
If she is, I have some questions. Okay, and I'd pay whatever it takes to get that question answered. Yeah, that. Ooh, that's a good exercise, Rob, to go in here and find out like who's the most obtainable person, and then let's get them on a cameo, or let's get them for an interview, like a Talking with T-Bird type situation. Mm-hmm.
Tell us about everything that's going on. Also yeah. on the red team. You know what? I'm looking at the Wikipedia, but the Wikipedia has like all the swaps that happen later on. Yeah. So that's throwing us off. Okay. I think that's everybody from the red team. Okay.
No, that's it. That's it for sure.
All right. Let's look at the green team. The green team was actually introduced second. The green team is Team Chip. Chip and Kim are going to lead us off here. And everybody loves Chip and Kim, right?
How could you not? Even this team,
race person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like this, I was gonna say, this ragtag group of like reality stars, like even they cannot deny like how great Chip and Kim are. So, they're very fun here.
Yeah, this is my introduction to them. So when I saw, I was like, they seem lovely. And then everybody like talking about them says the same thing. I think some people were like, oh yeah, it's Chip and he's such a sweet guy and his wife is amazing. I was like, these people are lovely. I hope they won the Amazing Race. Of course, I don't know. I didn't watch it. Hey, spoilers. Look at that.
There you go.
Okay. There you go. I don't have to rewatch season 5 now.
Okay. Okay. All right. So they did have Matt from the Joe Schmo Show. Okay. All right. So now I'm feeling less crazy. I don't think I was able to tell the difference between Matt from the Joe Schmo Show and Adam from Average Joe.
All the Joes are accounted for, Rob.
Okay. Sue Hawk is here. Sue Hawk is and it's interesting that they have her and Richard both here on the Battle of the Network Reality Stars. Sue Hawk had gone through her own swan-like transformation after Survivor All-Stars that she had like was very public about, that she was having like a lot of different plastic surgery procedures. And I'm not sure if that was inspired by the swan, but she was like a very public about what she was doing with all that. But I love Sue Hawk. Excited to see her anywhere. I kind of feel like that this is like one of her last public appearances.
Yeah. I like Sue Hawk on television as well. Yeah. But I was kind of shocked to see her here with Richard. Like, we know this is after Survivor All-Stars and we mm-hmm. know that didn't end great. And so, you know, maybe this is one of her last television appearances, because you don't want to keep getting paired up with your attacker. Right.
So, and I'm pretty sure they were both at the Survivor 10-year anniversary, which was in 2010 also. But I don't know if anybody's ever seen her since then.
Mm-mm. Well, you would have more connection to her than us. Is this a Talking with T-Bird that we need to go find out?
I think she's on the list. I think she's on the list.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd love to talk to Sue Hawk.
You have to ask her about Battle of the Network Reality Stars now.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Dr. Will is here. And Scally, at least in this episode, that Dr. Will was sort of like the like in the Kid Nation Jared spot, where you never really saw Dr. Will actually doing anything. You just like the cut to like, all right, here's Dr. Will like commentating on some things.
Yeah, the one of the people I'm the most excited to see. And he talked about this. I found like a clip from him talking on Big Brother All-Stars live feeds about this and was just like, yeah, so if you're tuning in for Dr. Will and he's just not participating in that much in episode one, he's not on the show. So we get a few snarky comments or him praising how great Chip is, but ultimately not the biggest feature here for Dr. Will.
Yeah. Chappelle didn't recognize the young Will Kirby.
Yeah, well, you know, Dr. Will is also a fan of swan-like makeovers. And so, you know, this is a departure from the Will we know today, who is very, as I've gone on record, is that very shiny now. Mm-hmm. His face is very, you know, shiny, I will say. And so back then, yeah, he looked like a normal human being as opposed to the android he has now become. But I was happy to see Dr. Willis as well. And like, you cannot be a Big Brother fan at this time in life and not be a fan of Dr. Will. So this was what we needed. Thank you, Will, the other Will for showing up, but we got the one we wanted as well.
Yes. Do you think they accidentally booked Will Weichel? They're like, hey, we got Will from Big Brother.
100%.
Yes.
It's definitely possible. Yep. Mm-hmm. I know even Will was saying on the feeds, he met Will Weichel on the last day and was like, hi, oh, you're also from Big Brother. Nice to meet you. Also Will. I was very surprised to see him there.
Yeah. Will, that sucks.
Theo Vaughn is here. And Theo Vaughn has gone on to do a lot of things since then. He's had a good career. But why? He seemed like he was the only person that didn't like Chip.
No, he said some good things about Chip. It just he found Chip easy to make fun of. Mm-hmm. And I can relate to that. I like a lot of people, but if you want me to make fun of him, I can too. Yeah, Theo is good casting for something like this, because I think even Chip says it, like, Theo hasn't lost a competition in his whole life. I don't believe that to be true. But up to this point, he had won, I think, two of the challenges that he had done. I think he raked in like $85,000 doing these MTV challenges. So Theo's a good candidate for any team, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. He's another one like The Miz, where The Miz always knew he wanted to be a wrestler. Theo knew he wanted to be a stand-up comedian and was just here to like practice out his comedy before actually going out and doing it on a stage.
Is he going to be an OG, Scally?
Ooh, he is not. I think he was left out, but not ultimately cast.
What is
he's too big
this?
For the show. He's really? Too big. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I don't like that.
Okay, Brian Worth is here from Average Joe Hawaii.
Who?
How many Average Joes down did you have to go before you got the Average Joe Hawaii?
It's like the Fast and the Furious. So eventually it's just Average Joe, and he's like, okay, jumping off of like ships and cars and stuff like that. We don't know what the actual plot of the movie is anymore. Like, that's the Average Joe Hawaii. It's basically like, it's not even a reality show. It's kind of like a Hawaii 5-0 Magnum P.I. spinoff starring yeah. this guy.
So actually,
so if you've never seen it, I just spoiled it for you.
The second one, Average Joe Hawaii. According to Wikipedia, in the second season, Average Joe Hawaii, Larissa chose Attractive Gil over Average Joe Brian Worth. A few days later, on a honeymoon between Hyatt and Larissa revealed she had once dated Fabio, which caused Gil to leave her in disgust.
Wait a minute.
Oh.
Yes.
Judd Bertha?
No. No. The real Fabio. Oh,
the real Fabio. You know, Judd Bertha is the only Fabio I acknowledge, I guess. Which for me would have been a lot better. But would you be disgusted if you found out that somebody you were dating dated Fabio? Like, is that like a deal breaker? Like, if Nicole told you, Rob, like back before you, there was
now,
Fabio.
Are we talking about the real Fabio or Judd Bertha?
Either one.
I definitely have some questions. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I could call the whole thing off at this point. Like, why didn't you ever tell me that? Why? How did you even know him?
I mean, how would it come up in conversation? Like, you're just sitting at the dinner table and all of a sudden you ever heard of Fabio?
Yeah. She's like, well, you never asked. Like, well, I didn't think that was something I would have to ask. It would just come up. Like, well, there wasn't a good time.
Points.
Mm-hmm. So, there you go. There's Average Joe Hawaii.
Scally. No, Scally. Did you watch Average Joe Hawaii behind our backs?
I'm sure that I watched Average Joe Hawaii, but do I have any memory of Average Joe Hawaii? No, I was too focused on the Celebrity Mole Hawaii to retain any information from Average Joe Hawaii.
Yeah. One Hawaii show at a time.
Yes,
one
exactly.
A show at a time. Okay, so that was Brian from Average Joe Hawaii. And then also from American Idol season one, Nikki McKibben, though, RIP. Nikki McKibben, I believe within the last year, passed away very sadly. She was 42. She was that's somebody else that I knew from back in the day. She was certainly had troubles, Nikki McKibben. So very sad to see. You know, I'd forgotten she was in this, but you know, it was very sad to see that she passed away at such a young age. She was somebody who the spotlight of American Idol and you know, having that kind of fame, it was not a good thing for her.
Yeah, definitely sad with Nikki. The bigger American Idol get here, getting third place on the first season. Mm-hmm. Not surprising to see her being someone that they contacted. She's a big personality too. We didn't get to see a ton of it here.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then we have our fourth team, Team Jervis.
Hey, we
team
know him.
Jervis.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And good for Jervis. Jervis never ages.
No. That black don't crack. He's still he's, there.
I mean, Jervis is like, he's looked exactly the same for, going on 20 years now.
Yeah. And this was young, athletic Jervis. Like, he comes in and he says, I should be captain because I'm the most athletic person on the team. A major departure from Blood versus Water, where we see him struggle in many of the challenges. But this is the Jervis that I knew, right? Like, in my mind, you know, when I started watching Survivor, my avatar was Jervis. I was like, hey, there's a black guy on there. And so by the time I saw him on this, I was like, oh yeah, my people, Jervis is here. So I was very happy to see Jervis in this spot.
Yeah, good for Jervis showing up here on the Battle of the Network Reality Stars. I forgot that he was on this. Mike Boogie is here. And Scally, this was a get for Mike Boogie because this is not post Big Brother All-Stars. This is a post Big Brother 2 Mike Boogie.
Yes, I know Dr. Will pulled the same move that he did on All Stars. He said, I will do your show if Mike Boogie also gets called.
Yes.
Which, to which they said, okay. I think this was probably an easier sell than Big Brother All Stars. But yeah, Mike Boogie, a brunette Mike Boogie showing up here too. Mm-hmm.
Chappelle, were you tweeting the other day about Mike Boogie's proposal in Big Brother 2?
No, it wasn't me. I don't know who that person is.
Sounds like
I'm not familiar with this Michael Boogie, but I do. I'm I don't really know this person, whatever. But as far as I'm concerned, Scally's right. First, they called the wrong Will. And when they realized it, they're like, oh, crap, we got to get the real Will on the phone. They called Dr. Will. He's like, well, I have this friend. And they're like, fine. What place was he in on Big Brother? And they're like, I don't know. He went on like third or fourth. Like, fine. Just whatever it takes. And then he goes on to, be on other shows as well.
Will said as much on the live feeds that Boogie was his plus one, just like Mirno was Sharla's plus one. Mm-hmm. It was blatantly, I am taking him here.
Yeah, they were a package deal at the time. All right. Brittany Brower from America's Next Top Model Cycle 4. Scally, is this a important person from the world of America's Next Top Model?
As much as any like top four contestant or so is from America's Next Top Model. She's a good personality. She's like a lot of fun. She was like the loud party girl of the season who like they would worry would maybe not be professional enough all the time when meeting people. So she's definitely a good get in terms of casting. But I don't know that she was like uber famous or anything.
Okay.
Yeah. If I'm assuming they were only up to this probably is from the most recent season of America's Next Top Model. So if they were looking at, entertaining people from the first four seasons, yeah, I think you go with Brittany here. I think at that point you probably can't get Adrienne Curry.
No,
because she was on to bigger things. But yeah, if you were looking for just purely a personality from that particular show, you got to go with Brittany at that point.
Yeah. Looking at the roster like we're doing right now, Jervis did get the worst of the teams. Nobody good on this team. Poor Jervis. He gets Jonathan and Victoria from The Amazing Race. Chappelle, I know you're not an Amazing Race person. Is this your first exposure to Jonathan and Victoria?
Actually, I don't think so. Weren't they on that episode of Fear Factor? The one where
they got into everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I believe Victoria decided to assault one Johnny Fairplay. And then Jonathan decided to fight Joe Rogan, which if you have not seen Joe Rogan back in the day and including now, he's a terrifying individual. And it just was a bad thing because most hosts would probably call security or stop production at that point. Joe Rogan decided to give Jonathan Anton those hands in that moment. And so they were about to fight on camera, regardless of what was happening. So that was my introduction to Jonathan and Victoria. Was their stint on The Amazing Race very similar, Scally?
I don't know that they were like a Flo and Zach, but they were definitely known for being a loud couple that was getting in a ton of arguments on like covers of magazines based on like how loud and like angry that they were portrayed. So yeah, Jonathan continuing his storyline from the Amazing Race.
A lot
race
of
here.
Criticism for Jonathan and the way that he spoke to Victoria during the time on the Amazing Race, and he's coming in hot here. OTTN, I believe, is the phrase for if you're doing scoring the edgic at home for Jonathan Baker here.
Yeah, he's easy to root against, you know, and I think that's probably his character in life. You know, on Amazing Race, probably people wanted to see him lose, definitely wanted to see him lose that fight against Joe Rogan. And here, kind of hoping that he fails a little bit. He kind of rises to the occasion in some places, and other places, he's doing exactly what I think he would do based off what I know about him.
Okay. We have Wendy Pepper. Chappelle, you mentioned Project Runway. Is Wendy Pepper an important person?
Wendy Pepper is an icon.
Yes.
Wendy Pepper is from Project Runway. Scally, is this season one or two? Season one, right? Yeah. And she's kind of in the Jerry Manthe role of like reality TV villain, where if you go back and watch it now in the edit, you probably still wouldn't like her. But it's nothing egregious. Like, they, you know, like you go back and watch Jerry, like, yeah, she was kind of aggressive, but I wouldn't say she was evil. But back then, these character types, you know, Jerry and Wendy and Omarosa, is like, you know, being assertive was like a death sentence for a woman in reality TV. Like, that instantly made you a villainess. And so, and I think Wendy Pepper kind of embraces it after the fact. In the moment, I think it was kind of hard for her. But I was excited to see her here. I don't think her Project Runway skills are going to take any like play in this strategically or athletically. I don't know if that's going to help. I doubt it. But yeah, if you got to get somebody from Project Runway, why not Wendy Pepper? She was good.
Yeah. Okay. Scally, you have any thoughts on Wendy Pepper?
Well, first, I believe also RIP Wendy Pepper, sadly.
But she was
definitely a big character at the time. This is not the show that I necessarily saw being her next stepping stone. This is not where I imagine Wendy Pepper coming to. So I don't know that she was the correct choice in terms of the competition aspect. But if you're going for a villain, I definitely see why you go for Wendy here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we also have another random apprentice guy here, Chris Russo, which in something that's hilarious, probably only to me on the Wikipedia for this, they have linked to the wrong Chris Russo instead of the Chris Russo from The Apprentice. They are linking to Christopher Michael Russo, known as Mad Dog, the American sports radio personality best known as the former co-host of the Mike and the Mad Dog sports radio program with Mike Francesa on WFAN in New York City.
So what you're saying is Chris Russo is on Cameo.
It would have been maybe very funny if they would have got New York sports talk radio personality Chris Russo here.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting, though. The Wikipedia page kind of off. I think we need to email somebody. And justice for Chris Russo, whoever that is, because I definitely
that's
did not
That's a bad job there.
Yep. Yeah. Gally, do you know this guy?
No, I don't know Chris Russo for anything else. I think I even messaged you, like, did Chris Russo become Mike the Mad Dog? So, like, this was this guy's future? So, no familiarity with Chris Russo.
Humble beginnings.
Yes, yes. I don't know if Sam is standing by to get us some other apprentice fact-checking on Chris Russo on The Apprentice Season 2. Also, on the Wikipedia, they're saying Jerry Manthe is on this team also.
I didn't see her.
She's not seen her.
I think there's a twist where it might be another average Joe. And Jerry Manthe come in as like a twist and replace some people. So I don't know if Jerry's availability was not there or what happened, but Jerry does enter late. I was sad not to see her in this first episode.
Okay, let's talk about some of the things, the events that we got to see. We started off with an obstacle course, and again,
hold on.
Yes.
Rob.
What? Did I forget somebody?
How dare you? Yeah.
Are we
not going to talk about Tina Fabulous?
Oh, Tina Fabulous.
We're not going to talk about
Tina Fabulous.
I have no clue who Tina Fabulous is.
Was she that fabulous?
She was from The Bachelor Season 3, and I have no clue who she is. Scally, what you got?
Basically nothing.
Oh my
I have even tried researching. I watched the season, no memory. I think it might even be a self-given nickname. I don't remember. But yeah, Tina Fabulous, I'm sure, was doing well for herself showing up here from The Bachelor.
Yeah, Tina Fabulous, not on Cameo either.
Missed opportunity. It's good branding.
Opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, would you rather be Tina Fabulous or Mike Boogie? I'm going with Tina Fabulous right now.
Yeah. I don't think either Chris Russo is on Cameo either.
Oh. We're going to find one of these people on Cameo. Mm-hmm. I don't know who it's going to be, but one of these people.
Yeah.
Theo Von is probably on Cameo.
Is he? I think he's too big for Cameo.
Brian. Yep. Oh, my God. Yeah. How did we forget, Dr. Will? We know he's on.
I think he's on it, but I think he's very expensive.
We can't afford him.
Oh, yes.
It's Will Kirby, CBS. He's down to only $199.
I think he used to be $1,000 or plus. So definitely a big price reduction.
Yeah. Okay. You could do with 4 interest-free payments of $50 also now on Cameo.
Oh, payment plan. Right. Okay. Dr. Will on layaway.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, let's talk about some of the competitions we saw take place here in the Battle of the Network Stars. The obstacle course was the first one. Scally, this was impossible to follow anything that was going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially there were time penalties and then who's coming at first, whose foot is touching the water. People are just leaping over it. Yeah, I have no idea what's going on here, especially like the announcer is not really even telling me that well. So completely impossible to follow.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was a missed opportunity to have Jeff Probst in this spot because he's really good at doing stuff just like this, standing there and watching people do challenges and making them sound entertaining to the people at home. Because I don't even remember this host's name, but it just gives
Mike
me nothing.
Adam Lee, I believe it was. I think he was most famous for, he used to be on American Gladiators. Did you ever watch that? American Gladiators?
I think I saw the reboot, but it wasn't holding my attention for every episode.
Is he Nitro?
No, no, he was he was one of the announcers. Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I don't know him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, you would do that. And then, you know, it was not, you know, covered well. People would like lose shoes in tires. And I don't know, I guess that Duncan Nutter was the MVP.
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
There, especially, there are you have the announcer like, I'd hate to sound sexist, but he'll never hear the end of this if he ever loses this race. Like, okay, not great, especially he like rolls over the finish line, not doing so hot there for Duncan Nutter.
He barely won. He barely beat Wendy Pepper. You know, Wendy Pepper from you know, the mood. You know, from Wendy Pepper has come straight from Project Runway to be the ringer that we didn't even know we had because she almost caught Dunk Nut at the end. I just don't. Is he the MVP? Really? Like, I don't know. There was a lot of
people. He got the interview with Trishel.
up. I mean, what we wouldn't give for an interview with Trishel, right? But here's the thing. He was in a very close race.
Yeah.
I will beg. He was in a really close race, you know, where some people completely destroyed their competition. I think, it was Will from Big Brother 5. He like took off and left Bradford Cohen, question mark. Yep. He left him in the dust. So, you know, I don't know. If you want to give Dunknut the MVP, sure. We're not going to hear much about him in moving forward. Give him something.
Yeah. Trishel was standing by. She's one of the commentators with Omarosa. And yeah, how did you think that Trishel did as a play-by-play person, Brian?
She was fine. Trishel's like a very big name at the time, so I think it makes sense that she negotiated a way into commentary versus actually competing here.
And she is going to be part of the Challenge reboot.
She is. I'm very excited to see Trishel back on TV.
Yes. You know, and she still follows a lot of these shows. She's active on Twitter. That I think we could get her on a podcast.
She follows me.
Mm-hmm.
And
what do you talk about?
We only had one conversation, and I basically was just like, you know, I was like 12 years old watching The Real World Las Vegas.
I'm sure she loved that.
Yes.
She did. She was like, oh, this is great. Yeah, like, come talk to us on the Rob Has a Podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was happy to see Trishel. Her and Omarosa were the correspondents, and then we had some Bachelor.
Bachelor Bob Guinea.
Oh, yeah, Bob.
Him. Who was that?
Oh, he was a big deal, Bachelor Bob Guinea.
Yes.
That he was like the jilted, I don't think he was jilted, but he was like the nice guy who didn't get picked by, I forget the woman's name. She was like the first bachelorette.
Was it Trisha?
Yeah.
Yeah, she picked Trisha Ryan, Stutter,
I think, was the other guy.
Yes, that was Trisha.
And then he became the bachelor. And then he was on a bunch of stuff, Bob Guinea.
Yeah, he was super popular. He was kind of the average Joe of the Bachelor world. Mm-hmm. So he was the everyman. People really liked him.
Yeah.
And he was given the lead on The Bachelor a couple years later.
Yeah. Want to hear great value on Cameo? Omarosa is on Cameo. Chappelle, can you guess how much is a cameo from Omarosa?
$60.
Scally, went higher or lower than $60 for Omarosa?
I would go higher, for sure.
That's lower. That's a steal. What? $49 for a cameo from Omarosa.
All right. Maybe the book sales did not do so well over there for Omarosa.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
My God. It's like, what could have happened to make her stock plummet tremendously? I don't know.
They didn't do another Celebrity Big Brother?
Something like that. I'm sure someone got evicted from a house.
Yeah. You want to hear an Omarosa cameo? What kind of cameo is she doing? I wonder, is she gonna give you a mean Omarosa, or is she gonna give you a nice Omarosa?
Nice Omarosa is fun. I like nice Omarosa.
Yeah. She's smiling. I think she's gonna give you a nice one. Okay. Let's see. This is an Omarosa birthday cameo, I believe.
Happy birthday, Mike. It's Omarosa here, and I wanted to join your wonderful son and wishing you a very happy birthday. I also want to encourage you to keep up the work on your books.
Okay, so Omarosa is going to build you up. Affirmations with Omarosa. That's a good deal. I would have thought it would be a lot more for Omarosa on Cameo. All right.
It's okay. There's a little bit of time between now and your birthday, Rob. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Rob, you are doing such a great job on the podcast. We're so proud of you. Congratulations again.
I love your work on Clubhouse.
Yes, your work on Clubhouse is great. I love it. Okay. Dunk Tank time. All right. I like the Dunk Tank, Scally.
Dunk Tank solid. I feel like this is the exact type of competition we should be having on this show. It is low stakes, good TV. Definitely, even the people on the show want to see some of the reality stars get dunked.
Yeah.
So I don't know how Jonathan did not get picked here, though, in order to be dunked. How no one was annoyed with him.
I have some theories.
Yeah.
So the thing is, they show like the flashback back to the original Battle Network reality stars. They're look at all the people who got dunked. Farrah Fawcett and other women in bikinis. So when you have this moment, you know, 20, 30 years later, you said, let's do it again. You know, mm-hmm. so So Coral paints a target on her back for being a little bit outspoken. And Coral, who talks a lot of trash. So I could foresee her getting picked and someone like Jonathan as well. But then if the litmus test is how good do you look in a bikini, then Coral's going to win every time. And I think that's what they were going for. It was a little pervy, just a little bit. But because some people were saying like, oh, yeah, you know, I hope we get Coral's top to come off or something like that. You know, like, but this like, they describe this as, you know, like basically a network TV wet T-shirt.
Yeah,
contest.
I mean, of the 70s version. Yeah, they said like that. Yeah. That was almost like the reason why it existed in the 70s. That's why people were watching this.
Oh, yeah. And this is it's revived in a similar way. Coral gets dunked a bunch of times. I believe a former Playboy model ended up on there. Tina Fabulous, the former Playboy
Victoria?
Model.
Is that Victoria?
Yeah, I think Victoria.
Victoria ended up on there as well to get dunked. So, yeah, they found a reason to get the women in bikinis in the water.
See, but it's like the skill set that you want, though, of the person that you put in the dunk tank, though, is probably not the person that the producers want to put into the dunk tank, where you saw like The Miz being up there. Like, you kind of want the person that's up there like, you can't throw. You're a loser. You're, you know, I slept with your wife. Like, wait, what? Like, they just trying to get in your head.
Yeah. I mean, which doesn't bode well for Cora regardless. But you'll notice Mike Boogie ends up there. I wonder why. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to talk about people who are going to annoy you to where you feel like I need to punish them by dunking them, then yeah, there's a couple people that stand out. But yeah, you got to get the heckler up there. It's because you feel like that's going to increase your odds of them not dunking you in the tank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scally, any highlights from the dunk tank for you?
I was going to say Mike
not to
Boogie
be confused
getting
with dunk nuts.
That Mike Boogie getting dunked definitely ages well here.
Yeah.
But I like Matt Gould saying that he's gonna pick The Miz for all his buddies watching MTV shows back home. Like, he's just a fan. He is definitely here fangirling over all the people that he's surrounded with now. So yeah, dunk tank was it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Could you imagine like now in 2021 you're like, oh yeah, I know The Miz. I dunked him a long time ago. It's a thing. Don't worry about it. It's super, super normal. You know, he's such a big deal. But yeah, Matt Gould, the Joe Schmo, right? Not the average Joe, but Joe Schmo, he's very excited to compete against The Miz. The Miz takes off his shirt and shows like, you know, wrestler body. And then Matt Gould takes off his shirt and shows off his, what do you call it? A 12 pack?
Yeah, okay. He wanted to represent for all his, I forget what he said.
He was Big-bellied brothers, big bellied brothers or something along that line.
Yeah, is it big belly brothers? Showing off his 12-pack.
All the average Joes out there. Yeah.
Yeah, all the Joe Schmoes out there, Rob. Please, you're getting our Joes mixed up again. Gosh.
Okay. All right. This was mentioned earlier, Scally. Omarosa is standing by with Austin Scarlett. Is Austin Scarlett somebody that I should have known?
Austin's a fun personality, but I do also think they found the right role for Austin on this. I don't know that we needed to check in on the fashion, but Austin's someone who's fun to have on TV. He's a good character, but it probably did not feel like competing in this actual game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yes. He's one of those icons in Project Runway like Wendy Pepper. You know, Austin Scarlett was known for being able to just throw together these beautiful gowns in the last minute. And, you know, he almost made it to the finale, I believe. But, you know, I think this is where you have him. You have him talking about Farrah Fawcett's outfits from years past. You do not have him in the joust if he doesn't want to be.
Okay. All right. It's joust time. And again, we're working with you see Hatch working with Sharla, that they really seem very concerned about this low center of gravity. And in fairness, Sharla, Chappelle, she wants to be in the joust. She's like, this is my thing.
Yeah. She's like, Jimmy T, put me in the game, coach. Put me in the game. And they're like, you know, we really want to win. And, you know, the height difference is so like, it's so apparent. So it's kind of like, I understand why they are kind of hesitant. But at the same time, give her a chance. This is not, you know, for $1 billion and it's going to change your life. And, you know, like, whatever. Give her a chance. See what happens. She seems confident. They're testing her out. She's sturdy, as they say. And so, yeah, I was happy to see Charlotte get put in the limelight. I would be more worried if this was Myrna. quite frankly.
Yeah.
She's the lost her shoe in the first race. She's Charlotte's first one. Who's Charlotte in all the time? I don't care.
Yeah, Scott, I think if you were going to like rank the skills to compete in the joust, like I think that like low center of gravity would probably be number two. But I think like the power to knock the other person off, I think would be the number one skill set that you would want.
For sure. The problem is, I don't know that Myrna has the power behind her either. So when you're saying that three of these women are going to have to compete in this thing, and I don't know that Sharla was, you know, volunteering for either throwing the balls or the obstacle course either. So I think this probably is the best part for Sharla. She knows what she's doing. She has the low center of gravity, like we've talked about. So the headlining match of Sharla versus the Swan definitely is what we're all feeding into here.
So it's Sharla versus Rachel Love Frazier. And this is like an all-time iconic joust match. they go till like they run out of time.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's a 5-minute time limit. And so we've identified that Sharla has some weaknesses and her strength is going to be her endurance in this round because she has a low center of gravity and the Swan is giving her the business. I'm talking about kidney shots. Bow, 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 bow. And so you're like I was worried, like, okay, fall in the water. Cause if it's me, like, the Swan was eating her up. But Sharla hung in there. She got a couple headshots in, illegal headshots, but she got them in there. And so, once she lasted that 5 minutes, it was a wash. And so she didn't lose any points, but they didn't gain any points either. And so I feel like she did what needed to be done there because I'm not sure Myrna would have been able to stay up there. I think she would have went down after the first couple of kidney shots.
Yes. Skelly, do you think that Rachel's surgeons recommended her participate in the joust?
I don't know that it was top of the list for her events, but
like you would think that they would give her like a packet of like, here are the activities to avoid. And you would think like joust would be high up on the list.
Maybe this is why they said specifically no face shots. We had to go only body.
Well, a few people had plastic surgery by this time. So it's probably safe just to have as a as an umbrella rule. You know, everybody just kind of avoid the face. We don't know who's been tampering. But yeah, it reminds me of that line in Clueless where she said my doctor has recommended I avoid activities that have balls flying to my face.
There goes your social life. Yeah.
There goes your social life, Rachel.
Also, the announcer, Mike Adamley, he did not need to describe the action as Sharla is like a tree trunk in a hurricane. Like he didn't that was a the picture that he didn't need to paint. That didn't seem like that was an accurate statement.
No.
Mike Adamley.
I don't know that Mike was throwing my favorite commentary. And this was just one example.
That metaphor game was not really on point.
Marie is like a linebacker. Is that Jeff Probst quote? Yeah, like it's not like Jeff would have done much better in this spot. I'll give Adam a little credit, but it wasn't great. It wasn't great.
Yeah. He also, I bet, just to tie it back to the Game Changers, that when Suri comes out at the Game Changers reunion show, Jeff Probst, he says something with Suri that's also like we talked about, like, his dig woman. When Suri comes out at the reunion show, he's like, he encourages her to like enjoy the ovation, and he says to her, enjoy it, woman.
Enjoy it, woman.
No.
Why, Jeff? Why?
Yeah, no. One size does not fit all here. We don't need that exclamation.
I don't know. Nobody else says that except them. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Jeff takes pride, and this is so off topic, but I think Jeff takes pride in being the person who got Suri off the couch. So, like, now whenever she does something, like, Suri, why going to the mall? Like, drive, woman. Like, you know, like, he feels like he's like hyping her up. Like, you almost did it. You got off the couch, girl. You know, so Jeff, please. Oh my gosh. We might need to swap in. Who is this? Adam Lee. What's his name?
Mike Adamley.
Yeah, Mike Adamley. Just for the reunion. That's all. Let's just see what happens. He probably won't go to the crowd as much to see what the kids are voting for.
Mm-hmm. We saw Richard Hatch in the Joust, that he makes short work of a guy that he just like knocks him off with one shot. I think this is Richard Hatch's sport, professional jousting.
Well, we even had Sue saying she wanted to take a couple shots at Richard here, so I think she was hoping.
Yeah, a little like a violent description about what she wanted to do to Richard Hatch in the joust.
She wanted to go berserk on him.
That story checks out. Yeah.
I wonder why. Mm-hmm. I wonder what could have happened to lead Sue Hawk to have such a visceral reaction to Richard Hatch. Mm-hmm.
We saw Jervis battle The Miz, and Jervis got DQ'd there for kind of doing a tackle of The Miz to knock him off.
Yeah, The Miz is a big guy. Jervis is very happy to be the most athletic person on his team, but he is by far not the most athletic person in this game. And at some point, you just got to do what you got to do. And so he was on his way down. I believe he dragged him down with him and was celebrating as if he won. I just knew, don't let that fool you.
Don't let that fool you.
Yeah. Definitely saw the trash talking that came out in Blood versus Water with Jervis here. Definitely practicing, saying he's going to run through their team like diarrhea. quite the line from Jervis.
Iconic. This is my guy.
Yeah. All right, this is a twist. The teams all have to vote somebody out.
I forgot about this.
Yeah, there was a twist.
Same.
There was a twist.
I was like, there's still 20 minutes left in the episode. What's going to happen? Oh, wait, what are we doing? Yeah. Voting people out to do what? Like, where is this? What happened? Why are we voting people out here, Scally?
I don't know. Maybe it was, but I'm guessing this was not part of the original Battle of the Network Stars.
No.
Seems to probably be a twist, being like, ooh, these are reality contestants. We gotta, throw in a vote out every so often. So I know this does continue as they go. They eliminate teams, stuff like that. But not a super eventful vote in any of the three cases here.
Yeah. So I will say that the Dark Blue team, they vote out Sharla.
Mm-hmm.
Why again? Because she couldn't do the joust?
I don't know.
Apprentice Heidi was pissed about this.
Evil, untrustworthy Ryan Starr betrayed poor Sharla.
Why?
She's the most manipulative person in the game.
Yeah.
She despises her.
Sharla was like, Ryan Starr is the snake. Like, oh, well, Ryan Starr, who knew you had these kind of strategic chops that you get out of, our biggest threat here to win the game, Sharla?
I think Heidi might have even been more mad about it. She's calling the team.
She said it was despicable. Yeah.
And they're all vindictive. She says F you to the team.
Yeah. And she also they did in slow motion that Heidi jumped off the bridge in the joust.
Yeah, I guess there were some of these losers brackets going on here that we generally didn't see, only shown to explain why Heidi basically volunteered to leave the team immediately.
Mm-hmm. yeah
that's so wild too, because Heidi says, I basically quit in the job, vote me out. Mm-hmm. And then when Charlotte gets voted out, she's like, how dare you, like, I gave my game for my team, ain't nobody gonna give up that game for Charlotte. Like, well, no, none of us quit, Heidi. So I'm sorry that you don't like it, but you quit.
Yeah.
And then asked to be voted out. Well, some of us come from reality TV shows where we actually wanted to win. You were on The Apprentice, mm-hmm. and I don't even know how you did. So there you go.
Middle of the pack.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So then Chip and Kim, this was very interesting. Chip asks, hey, does anybody want to go home? And Kim says, you know what? Chip and I, we live together. It doesn't matter if it's me or him. I'll go home. Wow. What a selfless act, Scally.
Oh, my gosh.
Seriously, I did not remember this, did not see it coming. I don't know why. I know there's $10,000 for the winners at the end. So I get that, Chip can win the $10,000, but $20,000 is a lot nicer for showing up here.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I wasn't expecting that at all. Mm-hmm. Like, Chip he just comes off like a nice guy. I really feel like I should go back and watch this season of The Apprentice, because this seems like
Race.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Amazing Race. This seems like a pretty stand-up character. I would never watch the season of The Apprentice. Let me get there.
I just watched the season of The Apprentice. Watched the whole thing. I didn't see Chip.
I just get this Heidi woman yelling about random stuff. I don't know. Who is Chris Russo? I don't want to do that. So, I want to go watch this season of The Amazing Race.
I think it's considered to be the best season of The Amazing Race, Amazing Race 5.
Hold on.
Yes.
Hold on.
Yes.
Was this season 5 or 6?
This was season 5 of The Amazing Race, Chip and Kim won.
Ain't we up to season at least 72? And you telling me ain't nothing touched season 5?
I think that's considered by many to be the best Amazing Race season. Yeah. That's what Mike Bloom and Jessica Lease tell me.
Oh, I heard season 5 of Survivor is considered to be one of the best seasons of Survivor.
I heard it was top 4 from somebody.
From some people. Yeah. I mean, sometimes sometimes you strike lightning and you never can come back from that. So maybe that's what's going on with The Amazing Race. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. So that was Chip and Kim, Sharla and Myrna, also, and Colin and Christy, all from season 5 of The Amazing Race.
The real who's who's of The Amazing Race. Yeah, I think that is one of the most popular.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know who Colin and Christy are.
They came back on the Reality Star Amazing Race.
Oh, how did they do?
Very well.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I mean, you can spoil it at this point. It's been
No, they were the winners. They came back. They won the Reality Star Amazing Race.
Oh, okay. Did Chip and Kim ever play again?
Did they play in All Stars?
That I don't remember off
there
the top
two,
of my head.
There were a couple of Amazing Race All Stars.
I think they did.
I kind of love them. And so I want to know so I can go back and find them and watch all of their iterations of whatever they decided to do. Because, they are great. I like them both.
Okay.
I don't see them.
Okay. I'm looking up. Yeah, I'm trying to look up Chip, but I'm just going to the list of Amazing Race contestants. Okay.
Yeah, Sam says just the one time.
Okay.
Sam, the biggest Amazing Race and the Apprentice Dan.
Yes. All right. We have one other. Even Dr. Will is can't believe what a nice person Kim is to walk away. And then we also had somebody voted off of the other team, and it was who's the other vote? Oh, Heidi.
No, that's it. It's just the three. It's Heidi, Kim, and Sharla.
Yes.
I love that because especially Coral's talking about how, like, well, we really don't know who the weakest is. And Heidi's like, I know it's me. Stop, like, messing around. Like, okay, sure. You volunteer. Thank you.
Yeah. She's like, I gave up in that round, so I wouldn't be mad if y'all voted me out. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we weren't even talking about you, but okay. Fine. Like, I'm sure there was somebody else on that team they could have voted out without any, like, fanfare at all. Like, if they really thought about it, they probably could have got rid of Tina Fabulous. I don't know.
So then they have, like, a draw of, like, oh, you're not voted out. You're just going to switch teams and then pick a card, 1, 2, or 3. But then, like, in the case of Kim, she went back to her original team. So basically, this was just, like, a tribe swap where Heidi and Sharla switched teams. And they tried to make it very dramatic. But Heidi was pissed. And then, was Sharla also not happy?
I think Sharla was mostly focusing her anger on Ryan and was thrilled to be going to a different team other than the one she had just left.
Yeah, but I didn't love this because, like, without Sharla, how will we even know that Myrna is in the game?
Yeah, what's Myrna going to do?
What's she going to do now? Like, Sharla went to another team and Myrna's not going. Like, I'm surprised she didn't pull a Heidi and say, just pick me, take me too, like, please. Yeah.
Maybe Myrna felt like this is my chance to escape out of Sharla's shadow of like be my own person.
Oh, I wonder if Myrna does well in the game. I've never finished the season in modern day, so I don't even remember. Is she able to shine without Sharla carrying all the weight for the team?
Yeah,
maybe she's like, goes great.
Everybody's always Sharla. What about Myrna?
Mm-hmm. Hopefully she doesn't take any balls to the face like Jan. Marsha?
Yes.
It's a Marsha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Okay. And that's Battle of the Network Reality Stars Episode 1.
Yeah.
That is.
It was fun.
Will we watch the rest of the series? How many more episodes are there, Scally? Do we know?
There are 5 more episodes, and I know they did a reunion at which Will met his future wife, Erin, who was also asked to be on the
love
show.
Her money. Yes.
Yes.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
We gotta find that reunion, if nothing else. That's good. That's probably some good TV. Did he propose at the reunion like a Mike Boogie would?
He met her there. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was just the meeting. Mm-hmm. Mike Boogie may have done the proposing, but I don't know that was Will's move so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So maybe next month, we'll watch the other in the pros column. There's only 5 more episodes, Chappelle.
Yeah, it's a short one. And so that would take a lot of stress off of you and myself. Also, you know, if Scally wants to pop back in and give us some more of his expertise, that would be lovely. Yeah. But five episodes is an easy do. So if you guys want to vote for that.
Scally, you know, are you the Battle of the Network Reality Stars expert?
I'll take it. This is, you know, what I have been working towards in my life. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So. Yeah. So are you willing to be like in the dunk tank spot and we'll talk trash about whoever else we get on board to watch these other first episodes later this month?
Oh, I'm down. I've been in a dunk tank before, so I'm ready for it. I'm used to it. I have.
Yes, you were. What did you say?
I don't remember exactly, but I have a mouth on me, so it was not going down quietly.
I mean, makes sense. Like, I feel like that you do have like a cutting Twitter account. Like, I feel like that maybe you could be coming up with like some really good zingers of people that are throwing the ball.
Yeah, you know, it was a fun one day. I'm not signing up as a full-time job or anything there.
Did they make the water very cold?
Yeah, it's absolutely freezing.
See, I would not like that.
was the water clean? I believe one of the average Joes said their water looked like it was the water from the original Battle of the Network Stars from back in the 70s. Yeah. Hopefully they had swapped the water out by the time you were in the dunk tank.
Yeah, this water looked disgusting, especially Mike the Miz was threatening to pee in it. Poor Fabio.
I mean, think
Judd.
Of the people that were in the water from what we saw.
So not this dunk tank. I would not be volunteering to go in here.
Mm-hmm. Mike the Miz going full Jacob Jones in the dunk tank. They call him Jacob the Wiz.
Yes. You know, maybe Chappelle, is this like a good idea for should there be some sort of like a battle of the RHAP podcast stars? Should we have like a field day someday?
Look, we already have the title card in Puya Racing Mike Bloom, right? Yes. So, look, as far as I'm concerned, we got it is in the middle of a pandemic right now, but people are getting vaccinated. The world is going to open up one day. I know it is. I'm very optimistic. And so we got plenty of time to plan this. And so, if Puya is racing Mike Bloom, then we got to get some other good matches in here. Maybe Nicole will race Akiva. Maybe we can put it.
I would take Nicole. Nicole runs on the treadmill.
I know, right? We just want to see Akiva get embarrassed by Nicole. That's what we're doing this for.
Akiva can't tie his shoes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the Velcro shoe might not be so bad in a race, but who knows? But you know, the Mike and Puya race is. I mean, I really don't even know which way to go with that one. I don't know who I put my money on. So yeah, let's sign it up. I won't be participating. Scally and I will be.
You're gonna be like the Trishel or Bob Guinea or Omarosa.
I'm definitely Trishel, and Scally is Omarosa. Like we're doing this. There we go. we're doing this. We talked about it. Sam won't go on an amazing race with me, so I gotta find a different partner. I am the Mirna to his Strala, and we will be talking about these contestants as the RHAP Battle of the Rahab Stars. But I enjoyed the sequester that you guys did.
Yes.
Before my time, obviously. Yep. And so, run it back.
Well, I feel like that the Battle of the RHAP Podcast Network Stars, I think there'll be less hard feelings there because it's not even like that we don't need to vote people out, but it's sort of like in this battle, like, you know, if Taryn loses a obstacle course, well, he's an American Ninja Warrior, so he needs to win that. But, you know, if he, loses to Liana in, one of the events, it's like, maybe there'll be some hard feelings, but I don't think they'll be they'll fester.
Yeah. Just wait till the dark blue team votes me out. I'm holding a grudge just like Sharla.
Yes, we're going to be in the background. I'm going to be interviewing Scally so Kirsten let the vote out of you. What do you think about her? He's going to be like Ryan Starr, she's horrible. She's the most despicable person in this game. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, this sounds like it has legs, Rob. I'm not saying we should do it, but we should not do it.
Okay, look, we may not watch the rest of this series, but at least we have come up with the kernel of an idea here for something that might happen. If we ever have another live show, maybe we need to build a field day around maybe the day after.
Yeah, Rahab episode 200, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got plenty of time. We can get it all covered.
We'll figure it all out. Okay.
Yeah.
Next time out. Okay, we do have some news about what we will do next time. If you want to get ahead and see what episode Chappelle and I will watch next week, we will watch the premiere of Beauty and the Geek. And we'll do that with Jenny Autumn. That's an average Joe-like show, Chappelle.
It seems like every third show back then was an average Joe-like show. You know, every other show was like, how do we take this really attractive person to be with these not so attractive people? And let's laugh at them in the meantime. But I think Beauty and the Geek didn't handle it poorly at all. Because I believe it's one of those reality shows with a ton of spinoffs and a ton of like, you know, they have sequels, you know, so yeah. I think Beauty and the Geek probably kind of handles it in the best way, maybe, if I remember it correctly. But I guess we'll find out when we talk about it with Jenny.
Skelly, did they ever do like, here's, you know, an average looking woman. And now here are a bunch of like hot studs for her to go on dates with.
You know, I don't know that TV executives were unfortunately thinking this way.
Damn this patriarchy.
Yeah, I don't know that I can remember it off the top of my head.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Let us know if that happened. Think they tried like every single version of this. They didn't come up with that one.
Hey, they can do it now.
Plain Jane. Yeah. Average Joe. You wouldn't say Average Joan. Yeah.
Jane. Average Joan. There we go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it happened. We are knocking at the door of whatever that show is, and we just haven't heard the name yet. But the moment someone says it, we're going to go, oh, yeah, that's a thing that happened. And we just kind of blocked it out of our memory. So a lot of these shows don't hold up well. But I have confidence in Beauty and the Geek.
Yes.
But I know there's going to be some cringy moments in there, and I'm excited to talk about them.
Okay. Yeah, Beauty and the Geek, also a 2005 reality series, but it got started 2005 when that was on was it still the WB at that time, or was it CW?
I would guess it was WB off the top of my head, but I do not know.
No, it was premiered on the WB in June 1st, 2005. So summer of 2005 had it all: Battle of the Network, Reality Stars, Big Brother 6, Beauty and the Geek.
What else could you ask for?
It was going on.
17th season of The Apprentice probably by that time, you know.
Yes, actually, for the fourth season of Beauty and the Geek, the producers modified the formula to include an extra team consisting of a male beauty and a female geek. So only took them four seasons, but they got to.
One team.
Yes. Okay. I've never watched an episode of Beauty and the Geek. I'm looking forward to checking it out.
I'm excited. I remember watching it in the real time, and I'm sure once I start seeing some of the contestants, this is gonna come flooding back to me. This is one of those. It's honestly, if you have to talk about reality TV shows, there's a ton of them. They come a dime a dozen, but you know, Beauty and the Geek is in the top like tier of reality TV shows from that era.
Yes. And Sam Moore says you can find it on YouTube if you want to watch check that out. This was so fun it was not a great episode of television, but I had a lot of fun talking it through.
Yeah. The goal is to, and Scally, this is mostly Scally's idea, honestly. The goal is to use something like this to talk about the reality TV stars and kind of just give you an overview of what we're talking about when we talk about the rewind, right? Because there's some reality TV shows from a couple years ago that just aren't aged enough. You know, probably not problematic enough to dive into, but these are the ones we're talking about. We're talking about the Austin Scarlets of the world and, you know, the Omarosas. We're talking about the people who paved the way for reality TV stars today. And so, yeah, I had a ton of fun. What I wanted a little bit more, though, Rob, is I know you know these people in real life. You don't got any good stories with any of these people. And I'm not talking about Sue Hawk and Richard Hatch. I need you to dig deep. Tell me about the time Tina Fabulous threw a drink in your face.
No, Tina Fabulous, I did not know. I used to listen to Chris Russo on WFAN all the time. Maybe one day, Chappelle.
Okay, all right. Look, I know you and Burton are keeping the good stories together. You know?
Hey, Burton was there with that night me and you got together.
Ooh, Burton was where?
In Texas.
Was he there?
Yeah.
I just remember Colby and Mike Holloway being there. Mm-hmm. You know, And of course, Debbie Sapp.
You got Sapp. Yeah.
And Mr. Spradlin himself. I got to hang out with Kim Spradlin's husband, who corrected
Travis,
me and told me. Yeah, he said, it's Wolf. And I said, sure, Kim's husband, stop it. Stop it.
And Scally, this was so fun to have you on here, and a great suggestion for the rewind.
Yeah, I was super excited. While the episode might not be the most exciting, it's a great vehicle to talk about like the big reality stars of the time, people that I'm sure everyone listening grew up watching, whether, you know, at least on a couple of these shows.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Scally, where can people keep up with all your tweets and everything you're doing?
All right. Well, I am on Twitter. Yeah,
this is like
Brian.
The battle of the Twitter stars in this podcast.
Scally is iconic. I was excited when Scally followed me back. I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do here? And then he started to bully me and run my entire life. And it's fine. I'm very happy.
Coming
I love
from
it here.
The Chappelle. Sure. But yeah, no, over on Twitter at Brian_Scally. And then also talking about the modern day battle of the network reality stars in what the challenge has become over on MTV. If you've already listened to the challenge wrap up and want even more, talking about that with Matt Liguori on the Dom and Colin podcast. And then I will be popping up on Big Brother coverage, including the update this Saturday morning. So I will see you guys there.
Okay. All right. That's a good spot.
I'm excited.
Post nomination.
Exactly. I feel like you really get the lay of the week by Saturday. So I'm excited.
All right. That'll be very exciting. And then, Chappelle, what else do you have going on?
I think. Oh,
you were with Bryce this week.
I was gonna say, I think this is it. Well, Bryce and I recorded a episode of Purple Pants Podcast to review the show, the movie Soul Food, which Bryce and I, we had a great time talking about. And so I think that was released this week. Of course, you can find me here next week with Rob to talk about another reality show, episode one. And you can find me talking about The Walking Dead with Jessica Lease. Josh Wigler has given Jessica the keys to the car, and I've hopped right into the seat, and we are talking about The Walking Dead for these last, I guess this is the penultimate season, right? Because the next season is last. Mm-hmm. And Rob, thank you for joining us last week.
Yeah, sorry, I was able to pop on. I'm sorry I missed you on Monday, but I did watch a Walking Dead episode for the first time in 2 years, and I didn't miss it.
Yeah, well, it's okay. We can have you on in the future. We're going to leave
you.
I missed you too. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We're still in a fight though. But
what are we fighting about?
Well, you know what we're fighting about. We're not going to get into this in front of the patrons. Oh my gosh. They pay too much money to hear us bicker. But I am on Twitter, as you all probably already know. Follow Scally, but also follow me if you want to at Chappelle's_show, Chappelle's_show.
Yes.
You can also follow me on Clubhouse.
Yes.
The same name. Yeah. And so I'll be on there often, probably talking to Scally and Rob.
Yes. Scally, you like the Clubhouse?
I love the Clubhouse. I'll always pop in. I don't want to, you know, jump in and derail the conversation. Yeah. So I'll listen. I'll jump in and participate when I have the chance, if there's not too much noise going on over here or something. But yeah, Clubhouse is fun.
Yeah. We have a lot of fun on the Clubhouse. And Chappelle, you didn't like Renap this week?
No. Oh, my gosh.
Too much ranch talk.
Stop saying the word. I could hear Tommy dying to chug that ranch. And had he done it, even without a video, I would have vomited. Like, I was driving in my car. I just got in my back seat.
He did a shot of ranch on the podcast.
I really thought I liked Tommy as a person.
Yeah.
I still do. But it's a lot harder now.
Yeah.
So, not my favorite episode of Renap. I had some complaints. JCR, how dare you try to fire the good Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz for some lemonade?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I'm excited to see how the bracket ends up, right? Because we still have one more round.
I mean, you might still have one more round.
I mean, I'm not done. Yeah, I'm not done with the episode yet.
But yeah, for everybody else that listens to the podcast, that they there's nothing left.
Look, I had to stop because, I was getting squeamish, but I was just hoping that we could get Tommy out of there. And luckily, it was one of my tweets that did it. Mm-hmm. Who would have known that I have a tweet calling ranch disgusting and Tommy just letting it fly? If mm-hmm. you were the biggest ranch fan, you would have shut me down.
Shut
and he did
down.
Not. I'm glad he got out of there.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next time to talk about Beauty and the Geek with Jenny Autumn. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.